chachma.
Ah, 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 ah
should do this more often. I'm taking it in, and I really enjoy sitting with guys. When you feel like sometimes you're in a yeshiva with a lot of guys, so sometimes it feels like, could feel like that you're not noticed. But I very personally, deeply notice. I notice too much, probably. But I don't get a chance to sit with a lot of the Chevres, so I should do this more often. I appreciate this very much, and it's not just because the matzah, which for sure is chashiv and very amazing, for sure, but it's because we get to sit together. So I don't get to sit together with everybody throughout the week and too often, but to sit with everybody to feel like we're together. I have a lot of I feel there's a lot of value in that, because everybody is very much noticed. I for sure notice everybody, whether you like it or not. Sometimes it's better. If I shouldn't, but I do. And to sit with everybody, I really, it's very valuable. But not everybody gets to sit with me. So just before I say anything, I just want to set the tone. If you don't know me well enough, because it's I really feel like I know you, but some of you don't know me. So there was a very good shiur upstairs a few minutes ago. I don't give shiur. I don't know how to give shiur. I'm not really interested in giving shiur. I like to discuss things. I like to talk about things, and I like to talk about life. I like to think about life. And by me, I don't learn Dofen Akuma in the morning. I have no interest in learning Dofen Akuma. But I like to talk about life. And with me and my shiur, chashuv guys, very chashuv guys, we discuss Dofen Akuma as part of our lives. Dofen Akuma is part of our lives. I'm not studying books. Studying books doesn't grab my attention. But sitting with 20 Jews in a room discussing what Dofen Akuma is in my life, that's very valuable. And so that's what I do in general. That's what I'm going to do now. So if you're familiar with going to a shiur, and you're at the wrong place. We're going to talk about life a little bit. And it might be a few psukim, but it's not a shiur. Just understand that every pasuk that we mention, we're just talking about how this world works, how this world is supposed to work. So we'll start with an incredible story. Vayisa Yaakov Raglo Vayilach Artsa Bnei Kedem. So Yaakov rose up. He spent a lot of time in yeshiva. After 14 years in yeshiva, he decided it was time to move on. And his first encounter, he saw Be'er Basada and Shlosha Edreitzon. There was three flocks of sheep, and they were sitting by the Be'er. Because from that Be'er, Yashku Ha'adorim, it was their source of life. It was their source of water. The problem was, Va'evin Gedol Alfia Be'er, it was a big rock over there. It didn't allow them to have access to the water. And then the pasuk has a parenthesis over here. If you read carefully, Kedai to read this carefully. You have a chance. The pasuk has a parenthesis over here. The Nesfu Shama Kol Ha'adorim, just in case you know, that's the area where all the flocks of sheep would gather together. V'golus Evin, normally the way it works is that they take off the rock. And then Vehishku is atzon, the sheep drink, and then they Vehishivu is heaven, they put the rock back. Like parentheses, in case you wanted to know what that matzav is, you should know this is how it normally works. Parentheses, but let's get back to the story. Vayomu lehem Yaakov, so Yaakov says to the chevra, Achai, he says, brothers, very friendly guy, Yaakov. Where are you from? And they sent me Chorin and Nachum, they were very dismissive. They were not very friendly. It wasn't Vayomer lo. They didn't say to him, and they answered in very short sentences. It sounds like they weren't looking at him, they weren't paying too much attention to him. They were sitting around having a good time, a couple cigars by the Be'er, and they answered very quickly. Vayomru lahem hayadatim is Lavan ben Nachor, you know this guy I'm looking for? Lavan. Vayomru yadanu, we know, shkayach. Like, not giving him the time of day. Vayomru lahem hashalom lo. Vayomu shalom. They are abrupt. V'hini Rachel bito boi matzon. It's hard to know. Is that the narrator speaking? Is that they're telling him that Lavan's daughter is about to show up? Hard to know exactly who's speaking over here. And it was a long day. It was still a long day. So he says, of a sudden, Yaakov starts giving mussar to guys who don't even want to talk to him. He says, it's a long day ahead of us. Why don't you give the sheep something to drink? And now they talk. Now they're very, they have a lot to say all of a sudden. He said, no, we can't. Come on, who are you kidding? We need everybody to show up. And when everybody shows up, then everybody together, kulam biyachad, we push off the rock. And then we can give the sheep to drink. And then all of a sudden, again in the story, Odom medabri imam, they're still talking. And Rachel, boi matzon. I thought she came 5 minutes ago. Now she shows up again. She showed up before. She shows up again now. I don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden he sees her. And then all of a sudden he flicks off the rock from the be'er. And then he gives her sheep to drink. He gives her a kiss, beautiful kiss, love at first sight. He starts crying for some odd reason. The whole story, what's happening over here? Now, one pasuk after the next, it just gets, this is a real story? I don't even know what happened. I have no idea what's going on. I can't tell you the narrative, I can't tell you the storyline, I can't tell you the conversation. I'm very confusing. And then the Medrash says he's crying about that they're not going to be buried together. You just met the poor girl, little girl, you just met her. You're crying you're not going to be buried together with her? There's a lot we need to learn about life. Because right now, it doesn't, it's not aligning with how I understand things. So there's a chizkuni over here. He says, "Kol ha'parsha hazos lo nechtava ela lahodia." So this whole story was mentioned for one reason. It's here to teach us kama gadol kocho shel Yaakov, how strong Yaakov Avinu was. This is the chizkuni was not a comedian, but he's making very good jokes. This whole story is to teach me that Yaakov was very strong. It would take a lot of shepherds to knock this rock off the well, and Yaakov was one guy. And the Targum Yonasan says over here, Medrash says, he took it off with one hand. Very strong guy. We're serious right now? Later in the Pesukim it says that Rachel was Yifas Toyer. Gorgeous. Gorgeous girl. So what are we learning here? Rachel was gorgeous. Yaakov was very strong. That's the avos and imos. It's not how I envision them. Yaakov was also 77 years old right now. 63, he left his parents. That was the whole maisa with the brachos. 14 years, he learned in Shem Ve'Ever. He's 77 years old. He's not young. And this is what it's coming to teach me. When Rashi says, Vayogel is Evan, that he flicked off the rock, Rashi says, Ke'odam shemavir es apkak. Me'al pit slochus. It's like when you take the cork out of the bottle. I didn't understand this Rashi. I think what Rashi's trying to say is that he just like flicked it off. It was like nothing. He never saw me take a cork out of a bottle. Because if you have all these, you know, fancy, rich white neighborhood trying to take the cork out of a bottle kind of machines, so it's very easy. But you come to like a Rebbe's house, he has the fog shack thing, you gotta screw into the cork, and then you push the cork down further in, and very complicated matzav over here. It's not so easy for me, I don't know for others, but for me, not so easy to take the cork out of the bottle. If you want to give a mushel that is like, you flicked it off like nothing, you can think of a lot of mushels. The cork out of a bottle, not the mushel I would have chose. And then, I really look at the whole story. The whole story is unnecessary. If you want to tell me, like it's earlier on, it made sense. Eliezer didn't know who he was looking for. Eliezer had to go to a well, wait for a nice girl to show up, test her out if she's a Baal Chesed, and then, oh, that's the one for Yitzchak. Here, earlier in the Psukim, it's a beautiful Pasuk earlier, it says, Vayitra Yitzchak El Yaakov, dad called Jacob, he called him into his office, and he said to him, listen to the words, Kum Lech Padena Aram. This is the address. Go exactly to this address in this city. And when you get to that address, V'kachlecha Misham Isha Mibnos Lavon Achi Imelcha. Take the girl, exactly this girl, Lavon's daughter. Rachel Leah, he understood it was Rachel. He's not looking for a girl. He knows exactly which girl he's supposed to go to. Exactly which, was he sitting at a be'er? Hanging out with a bunch of shepherds and flocks of sheep. I don't know where the story is here. The story doesn't belong here. And the back and forth with the shepherds. But there's a lot that needs to be explained. So let's discuss a little bit. There's a big problem in this yeshiva. There's not a lot, but there's a couple, and I'll discuss one of them. There's a big problem in this yeshiva, and it was highlighted to me this week. I reached the peak of my career, because we had 12 Flappish Chevra come to visit yeshiva. It's like, I finally made it. Flappish is back on the map. I feel mom is very good about myself. We were going to join intramurals, but it was just me and one guy, and Rabbi Apfel, three guys in yeshiva. We wouldn't have done too well in intramurals. But Mirz Hashem, we have some Chashuva guys who are interested now. And it highlighted something to me, because they sat down with my shiur, very impressive group, both, the Flappish guys and my shiur. And the Flappish guys, we did a shtickle Q&A. And they asked questions about why to come to yeshiva, and Mevasera wasn't the topic, more why to come to yeshiva, why to take a gap year, why to come to Israel for the year. And the guys in my shiur, Kedarkam, as they normally would be expected, very, very mature, sophisticated answers. Extremely, extremely impressive. And the rabbis from Flappish were floored. They couldn't believe that this was 18-year-old guys talking like this. And it was extremely sophisticated. So when we closed up shop over there, I overheard a couple of the high school kids saying to each other, how long have these guys been in yeshiva? These guys have been in yeshiva not 3 months. You know, you do the math. September, October, November is not even finished. Not 3 months these guys are in yeshiva. They didn't even know Sukkot's break. We took 2-3 weeks off. They're not in yeshiva 3 months. And they're so developed. They're so refined. They couldn't believe it. This is a big problem we have in yeshiva. Major problem we have in yeshiva. The guys are too developed. And I mentioned this when I stayed in for Shabbos a few weeks ago, when I asked guys to speak. So some Schoenebeck guys spoke, and it's a big problem. You see these Schoenebeck guys speak, and they're too impressive. They're too refined. You're looking for role models. We should be looking for role models, but within reach. You want somebody to look up to within reach. Nobody's within reach. This guy's more impressive than the next. I'm trying to find a role model around here, and I look at one guy, I can't be like that. He looked to his right, that guy's way ahead of me. Looked to his left, no chance. It's a big problem. It's a big problem in yeshiva. It's a major problem. And because we have that problem, that I want to maybe say a couple words about tonight, you might get the impression that I'm talking to, you know, the peasants. The poverty-stricken people in this institution. Nothing impressive about them. Can't figure it out. Don't know what to do. No direction. No motivation. That's not who I'm talking to. That's not who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the people who make the problem. The people who create this problem. That's what I'm talking to. There's a common tendency, there's a common need to take action, or maybe to stall in taking action. That's what we do, is what people tend to do. We stall to take action in life, we stall to do things, to be proactive, until all the pieces are in place. And just as an example, but there are many, and I don't want to give, to be honest, any, because Kol Adam Yodea, everybody knows his own, where he needs to improve. But just as a generic example, if a guy struggles with his morning routine, so he tends to stall before he takes any action, because he convinces himself, maybe the world convinced him, that there's a lot of pieces that need to be in place before he could be more proactive about this issue that he has. And just as the example, he needs to be inspired that tefillah has power. It's hard to wake up in the morning. So the only way he could get out of bed is he had a big boost. He went to a big chizuk, he heard a shir, a big boost of inspiration. He needs that. That's a major piece of his puzzle. Without that piece, it's not going to cook. It's not going to move. And also he needs Madrich to wake him up on time. And if that Madrich's not doing his job, it's not going to work. You need that piece too. And he needs an alarm before the Madrich comes in, because you need to wake up, apparently, before you wake up. You hit the snooze, and before the Madrich, you can't just straight to Madrich. Straight Madrich, not going to work. You need to wake up all your roommates first. All your roommates wake up. You don't wake up. Your roommates wake up. And then somebody has to yell, you shut off the alarm, and you wake up enough just to shut it off. And then the Madrich comes in. There's a process, apparently. You need to go to sleep on time. A big avoda here. A lot of pieces of this puzzle. Doesn't happen so easy. You need not to be woken up by your roommates the night before. The long list. There's a very long list. If all these pieces come together, again, for a guy who struggles with this, not too many guys struggle with this, but for a guy who struggles with this, if all these pieces come together, you will find me at morning services. But if one of these pieces is not there, what do you expect? What do you want from me? The Madrich didn't come. My alarm didn't go off. It was a no phone tiyul. I didn't have chizuk. I don't believe in my tefillah. I'm having a down, shtickl slump. One piece is missing, the whole puzzle falls apart. And it's the same with every issue. Small, large, it's all like this. We're very easily thrown off. We have like goals, we have plans, we have desires and interests, and we yearn to do things in life, but we're very easily thrown off. When you're looking to accomplish something, you're very quick to learn that small things will throw you off. One small piece misplaced will easily and quickly throw you off. And it's going to happen at every stage. Shiur is not going because you don't have a good chavrusa. Imagine you didn't have any chavrusa. No, shiur can't go. Your chavrusa is not good. Shiur can't go. Seder can't go. When you move on to the next stage, college is too demanding. You can't pull it off. You have too many responsibilities when you get to college. And then you start dating. And dating, for some, Hashem gives you a kiss. And it's not smooth. It's a big kiss from Hashem. It's not smooth. And it's one after the next. And always you're rejecting her. At least that's your narrative. And you always, she's not good enough for you. And you can't function. Because you're worried about when is she going to show up and who's she going to be and why am I not getting the right girl and how come people don't understand what I deserve. People are like insulting me, the girls that they're offering me. And the dating's not going and college is too demanding and my roommate and my chavrusa still didn't show up for 3 years already. And then your job is stressful. Your boss is terrible. Your family is dysfunctional, like all good Jewish families. A little healthy dysfunction is a big mitzvah. A little bit. A little bit is kedai. And health, God forbid. Health, chas v'shalom. But it happens to everybody. How are you going to succeed over here? How can you ever accomplish something? All the pieces. They're all broken. Every piece is broken. Every single piece. If this one's there, the other one's not. When my chavrusa showed up, my rabbi didn't show up. I showed up for davening, there was no breakfast. Whatever's working, something else falls out of place. And it's all impeding on your progress. The pieces don't fit. And we could add on to that. I'll add on to that. We live in a society over here. We live in a community. And some days you feel hot, you feel strong, but everybody around you is complacent. You woke up with a fervor to do, to have a day, and your whole room is sleeping. And it's heavy, and it weighs you down. Everybody around you is dragging. Like a nursing home, they're slow to move, slow to get places. And that day you came with such a surge of energy. But everybody around you is, they're lagging behind. And then the opposite, you become reliant on the community. We're not individuals. We live in a society. You become reliant on the people around you, and sometimes not everybody's reliable. And in a very mundane, genuine, sincere way, Yaakov asked a few shepherds laying around, he said, why are you all laying around? This is your life right now? You're sitting around by the well, waiting for somebody to take care of this problem for you? This is what you do all day? You hang out here with your sheep, sitting by the water, waiting for something to happen? In a very mundane way, he asked. And the first time that they respond forcefully, like they had something to say finally, and they get very defensive, extremely defensive, and they say, don't you see, we can't. You don't see the rock sitting on the well over there? I'm not capable. I can't do it. I know exactly what I need. I know exactly my mission. I know exactly what I'm intending to do. I can't. I need everybody else to get in on this. You want me to do it by myself? Impossible. There's not enough pieces in place. And I can't get there. When everybody comes, you'll see, wait a few minutes. All the shepherds, the flock, they're going to show up. We'll do it together. And then the ugly reality, when they do it all together, the pasuk in parentheses says, you know what happens when they do it all together? When it's over, the rock always goes right back to its place. The well gets closed up again. Every time. When all the pieces fit, it worked. Today it worked. And then, tomorrow, the yeshiva is a heaven, back limakomo, back to scratch, back to step one. I want to tell you a story. A real story. A true story. Vayiso Yaakov Raglov doesn't mean Yaakov went anywhere. The Medrash says, Toin libe yasragloi. His heart carried him. Yaakov was on fire. He went 14 years in yeshiva. He had this dream about a sulam. He had a dream about these ladders, malachim up and down. The malachim saw his face. The malachim said when they saw his face, this guy's from Kisei HaKavod. They recognized him. His face is carved out on Kisei HaKavod. This guy was on fire. He didn't walk. His heart carried him to this place. Any chances, when he comes back into reality out of yeshiva, he chances upon this scene. Up until the narrator, or the Rohan, the shepherds, somebody says, V'hine Rachel bito bo'i matzon, somebody narrates the shepherd's comment that Rachel is about to show up. It doesn't faze him. She's not there. It doesn't faze him. Because he's anticipating that after this mundane chance of events, he's going to get to the address that he's supposed to go to Lavan's house, and meet this amazing girl, Rachel, he's going to build up the Shvatim with, build up Klal Yisrael with. So now he wasn't interested in this. Rachel's coming. It was a mundane conversation. And then something happened. You got to hear what happened. Odenu medaber imu. He's in the middle of conversation with these shepherds. And he thought this was a mundane, just a by accident, he chanced upon this. Odenu medaber imu. He's just talking to the shepherds. Vayehi kasher ro Yaakov is Rachel. And she shows up. He's ro Yaakov is Rachel. She shows up. He sees her for the first time with his eyes. And everything just changed. His whole life just turned upside down. And he realized that this is not a mundane circumstance. He realized this whole thing was set up from the beginning. This is how Yaakov and Rachel were supposed to meet up. And now the Medrash starts spewing. The Medrash starts dropping comments like we don't understand, like you wouldn't believe. The Medrash starts dropping comments. The Be'er is not a Be'er. And the shepherds are not shepherds. And the sheep are not sheep. It starts talking about this is Sinai. They were standing at Sinai. And they were with the Sanhedrin. And this was the Shvatim. And this was Batei Dinim. And it starts talking about this is the future of Klal Yisrael. This is what we thought was the mundane. All of a sudden became destiny happening. And Yaakov looked around. And he understood that this is where everything changes. Now is where everything changes. And this is not a well. It's not chol. It's not mundane. It's something very holy happening here. And he realized he went from one nevuah to another nevuah. He just ended with the ladder and the malachim and he came to another nevuah. And I'll tell you what he saw in this nevuah. He saw Maisa Avo Simin Labanim. That there's a covenant and a pact being laid here. Avram had Yishmael. And Yitzchok had Esav. And Yaakov is going to be clean. Yaakov and Rachel, she's the choice of the Imahos. This is where it goes into Klal Yisrael. This is where we set the stage. And how do we set the stage? They made a pact over here. They're going to develop here, at this point, the character of the nation they're about to create. That's going to be entirely emanating from them. And they understood that this nation is brought to this world to uproot every blockage that society will ever have. Every blockage that our nation will ever have. And every blockage that every Yid will ever have. And every Jew, the Medrash says earlier, his Ramach Evarim, the Medrash says, Sheyesh bi Tzimeim Lecha. And the Targum Yonason says that the Gvura, the strength of Yaakov, was his Chasidus, was his strength of character over here. And I realized something amazing about a cork, that a cork is very difficult to unscrew. Well, like a good bottle of fine champagne, says the Targum Yonason, that you do a little work, you screw, you do a little work. For some it's a little harder, for some you need to put a little more effort, you do a little work, and then it pops off. And the Targum Yonason says here, when the rock popped off, the Be'er not only came out, they never saw the rock ever again. For 20 years, the Be'er, the water was rising up for 20 years, flowing out of this Be'er. It was like a bottle of champagne popped right off. There's never a perfect time. There's never a perfect place. There's never a perfect circumstance. And that's how Shem made our lives perfect. All these guys that are too impressive. All these guys that look like they have it all figured out. I want to talk about your blockages. I want to talk about the things that you haven't figured out. I want to talk about the things that you have easy. You have to be very careful if that's your mission. You have to be very careful determining what's your mission. And the things that you locked in, that the rest of us peasants, it's difficult for us to ever envision our capability to get to where you are. Everybody here is accomplishing incredible, amazing things for what's easy for you. But then you have the things that you really have serious blockages. Everybody. Really serious blockages. And that's your fight. And Yaakov Avinu sets the character of Klal Yisrael. The character of Klal Yisrael is that's your mission. But you don't know. You don't feel it. You're not inspired. And he wasn't either. He saw this rock. There's nothing he could do about this. Until he saw Rachel. Until she showed up. And he saw Rachel. And he understood his mission. He understood with clarity what his mission is. And every stima, when you know your mission, you could open up for good. And every step in your journey, you can pave with urgency, by taking the initiative, and with conviction. But this is a hard, very hard tafkid. It's an extremely hard tafkid, because it has nothing to do with anybody else. It has nothing to do with anybody else's mission. And Yaakov Avinu had a mission to build Klal Yisrael. And I have a mission, and you have a mission to build me. And to build me is uncharted territory. And the way somebody else was built is not the way you're built. And you got to figure out where your cork is, and you got to figure out how to pop that cork off. And you got to figure out how to make that well flow. But you got to play with that. You got to work on that. And whatever's hard for you, I promise you, whatever's hard for you, you probably found your mission. That's probably your mission. And every piece that's missing in whatever's hard for you, you definitely found your mission. And the more pieces that are missing, the more that's not working, the harder it becomes, because nothing's working out exactly as you need it to be. Definitely your mission. I will guarantee, definitely your mission. But you play the game. Play the game. My chavrus is not here. And nobody woke me up. And my job's too hard. And college is too stressful. And the girl hasn't shown up yet. And nobody's helping me. And nobody cares. That's you. Exactly your mission. And you pop off that cork and you let that river flow. Or you could be like everybody else. And do like everybody else. And never discover what you have. Never discover your flow. And you have that flow. But it's so scary to pop off that cork. Because everything's working against you. Nothing's working in your favor. And that's how you know you found it. Different than everybody else. The parts that don't work. For all these great guys, that when I walk into this building, I get very intimidated. Very religious looking guys. Very serious looking guys, very motivated guys with a mission, with an agenda. What's your blockage? What's covered up on you? What do you need to develop? What do you need to twist, that you twist it and then it goes back on? You pop it off. Next thing you know, you wake up the next morning back on. Cycle again and again. You cycle in and out. You succeed and you fail. Hashem should give us a big bracha. Together we should have chizuk to develop each guy individually. Together we should support each guy's capacity to find his core, to find his river, and to figure out a way to let it flow. Shabbos. Thank you.
die.